The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report on this Tuesday, the 10th, I'm sorry, the 2nd of October 2018. Talking to Abdul. Abdul, do you remember, and this is the only person in public office that I've really heard talk about this, about what is actually going wrong within the inner cities, how black mayors and black leadership have kept the inner city folks in virtual, I guess you could call this, pretty much slavery. Mm-hmm. The school systems falling apart. The strong family unit that has been all but destroyed. When I heard Trump talking about that, and this was during the election run-up here, folks, mm-hmm. he was speaking true fact. And then what does he do when he turns around and gets to be president? He brings in the black preachers from the largest congregations in this country and said, you know what? This is going to change. Now, I have not seen a follow-up on this yet, but these men took Donald Trump seriously. As a matter of fact, during that little process, he even opened up the stranglehold on the 501c3 in order to get your tax break mm-hmm. from the IRS. He took the shackles off of them. What's your take on the cultural deficiency and what's going on in the inner cities? And from your viewpoint, what's it going to take to change that?
What I think that would take to change that happened with the election of Donald Trump. And I always, as you know, a black man with dreadlocks, you know, the average liberal white male or woman gets irate when they hear me talk about Trump and what I believe his agenda is, especially in the black community, trying to restore that. They go nuts. And the reason why is because Trump mentions God. He mentions the love of life, saving life. He mentions that he wants every American to be prosperous, no matter who you are or what background you came from. And how can you not respect that? And to be honest, in the inner city, and especially the people I communicate with and what I see just online and social media, the real men in the inner cities, they love Trump. They support Trump. They wear Make America Great Again hats and T-shirts. They're at the rallies. You may not see them in there all the time, but they're there. They have support for them. And to me, which I love the most, is the fact that he did reach out to the black community. He brought in Ben Carson to HUD to try to make a difference with the housing. But what it's going to take for us as black men in our community is to realize that only what we do matters. It's not what the politician does or the preacher does or your teacher. It's about us as individuals taken back the responsibility that we willingly gave to the government and to our so-called leaders in the church and politicians. We need to take that back and say, this is what we need to do for our families and our community. I think that's where it starts.
Yeah.
And for me, that's where it starts. And that's what I'm trying to do, especially when with my show or even with my family. Like, I got my son right now. He saw Trump on TV. He's going, Trump, 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 Trump. And I'm like, okay, my man, you get it. You don't, but you do.
That'll get him beat up on the playground.
it might get beat up.
Yeah.
But he's a big boy. He's a tough kid.
Well, and you know, I'm looking forward to the day here. And here, it's still ongoing separation. You know, years ago, if blacks had anything to do with whites, they were Uncle Toms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was during the black power stage of the country, and I'm looking at this, and I kept hearing, well, black identity. Well, excuse me, mm-hmm. can you tell me what that identity is? What are you identifying as? Just being yes. black, being a different color? I'm not interested in the color of your skin. I'm interested in your viewpoint. I'm interested yes. in your pride, in your productivity. What have you done for yourself? What have you done for your family? What have you done for your community?
Yes.
You know, and go ahead.
John, that's beautiful. And that's what it is right there. Like, I try to keep it simple with people. And they ask me why I vote for Trump, blah, 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 blah. But I tell them, like, look, here's the deal. Here's what every man, woman, and child should want. Clean air, clean food, clean water. Okay? So that's how you survive. That's how you live. So if you can recognize that your food is not clean, you can recognize your water is not clean, you can recognize your air is not clean. Okay? What are you going to do about those three things? That's how you survive. Keep it basic. Keep it simple. Okay? And just for on the you know, cultural side of things, that's a great point. Like, our culture has been, I wouldn't say taken from us, but we've forgotten where we came from, and especially our American culture, okay? My bloodline is Irish, Black, Panamanian, and Native American. So I'm as mixed as you can get as far as bloodline goes. And people don't understand the bond that the Irish and the Black had back in those times of slavery. Because Irish are treated the same way. The Irish and Blacks, they bonded with each other, and they loved each other, and they had relations, and they got married, and they had kids. But that is not talked about. The white person has saved Blacks, and that's the bottom line. But once we start realizing that the Blacks have been here thousands of years, along with everybody else, whites too, Asians and all that, we've all been here in America. We've all helped this country grow to what it is today. But what's happening is that the culture side of things have been stripped away, especially on the Black side. And you know, with my wife, I always tell her with her family, like, you know, she's white, and I tell her with her family, I love her family because her family knows what day that her great-grandpa stepped on this land in America. What they had with them, the struggle that they had to endure in order to put their future generations in positions to be successful and to have inheritance. And it all came from hard work. It didn't come because it was handed to them. And I think that's the misconception between the white and black culture, especially when we see, you know, white people driving around in fancy cars and they got a lot of money. We think that they didn't earn it or their families didn't put themselves in a position to earn it. And I think it's the saddest thing in America. And on that last note I want to make, John, is especially on the black side of things, is the fact that without the consent of the black leaders back in those times, we would not be in the situation that we are in, especially culturally.
Yeah.
So there's a black hand along with the white hand or the Jewish hand or whatever you want to say that's put us in the position of that idea and that belonging into slavery mentality.
Yeah, it's...
That's just my opinion.
Continued, well, there's one thing that blacks are sharing with the Jews now, and that's the constant state of victimhood.
Yes.
You know, and I, you know, I, my God, Abdul, I keep hearing the same old stuff. When you talk to other black people, Do you sometimes get the sense that they don't have the information they need to even respect your opinion or what you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah. I think what it is the fact that they don't, especially dealing with some of these black nationalists and people who are pro-black, so black that they don't know who the heck they are. It's the fact that they think that they don't have an identity to look upon. They don't have that connection. And I believe that, especially with some of the people I talk to, is that they're scared to admit that they're wrong in their thinking, their judgment of other people. It hurts them to know that there are good white people out here that are helping black people every single day, probably more than black people help themselves out every day. They're ashamed to admit that. So I think that's the biggest issue. It's like, okay, you can admit that you're wrong in your ideas and your thinking process. You're wrong in it, and there's something out there that is better and can put you in a better light and a better position. And I think we can learn from other cultures, obviously. Like, for instance, growing up, the Hmong culture, or the Hmongs are big in Wisconsin, okay? You know, they've been shipped over from Laos, Thailand, and stuff like that, right? But what I find so impressive about that Hmong culture is that they are centered in their family. And they will have in their household 3 to 4 families in one household. All that income that they bring in, they work in hard for, comes back to the family. They grow their house. They go buy land. They go cultivate that land. They go produce. Some of the biggest farmers markets here in Minnesota, Minneapolis, are run by the Hmongs. Period. Because they understand how the value of land and the value of cultivation. They understand that. Well, they haven't gotten away from that.
And what you're describing here is strong family unit. And that's the one thing that has been destroyed in this country with the black family. You know, I mean, I hate to bring that up, but it's true. All right. Well, Abdul, I appreciate the phone in, my friend. And when's your program on, by the way?
It's on Saturdays. Every Saturday is from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. If you guys have opportunity, check it out. And I did give up my holdout on donating today. I donated, and I'm far overdue. So I just love and appreciate the station, and thank you for the opportunity, John. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate your viewpoint, because you have lived a little bit different life. You have a viewpoint that I think people need to hear in an historical perspective that, quite frankly, I can't offer because I haven't lived it. And I thank you so much.
Thank you.
All righty, sir. Go ahead and run that, Mike. This is one of my favorites of all time. And this is what is at the heart of the separation, the continued differences, or the constant victimhood status. When all the opportunities are here, you might have to overcome a few more barriers. I am not saying that you are not because of the color of your skin. But I'm going to tell you what happens when people discover your character and what you really are. They're most proud. Go ahead and run that.
Black History Month, you find
ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month?
Well,
come on, tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay, which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
You want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism?
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman.
Wow. Ed in Utah. Hello, Ed.
Hello, John. Very interesting conversation you had there with Abdul. I've actually called in on his show. He's got a good streamlined show. And hearing you guys talk, before I get to my main point, hearing you two talk, it underscores what you've talked about, not just the border, but bringing in people from Somalia to water down maybe black history in America. bringing in all these groups of people from the Middle East and what have you, the repeopling of the United States, and that is going on. I'm going to say unabated. We'll see. I haven't seen the policy changes. I haven't seen the introduction of bills in Congress to go along with the Trump sentiment that he's echoed. So it's very important.
And, well, okay, but Ed, stop right there. I want to make a point off of what you just said. What more legislation do we need? Because the money is flowing into these inner cities. It's going in for the welfare program and the food stamps and the credit for housing, and the money is being poured in there for the schools, but everything is falling apart. So what bill do you want to see introduced that's going to make that happen? It's got to happen with the people that are living in those inner cities to make up their mind to say, you know what? We have been fed a load of crap. We've been taken down the wrong road. It's time that we be a little bit more innovative, a little bit more innovative thinkers, think outside of that box, and get on with this thing that we call life.
Right, John. No, I was on a different track when I was talking about the bills. I was talking about what you were talking about with him, and the other week you were talking about the repeopling, all these foreigners coming into
multicultural,
the country.
Call it what it is, multiculturalism.
Multiculturalism. And what I was saying, the bill that I want to see introduced is more along the lines of what Pat Buchanan said 20 years ago. We need a 10-year timeout on all immigration until we sort out who's who in this country.
Yeah.
That's what I meant a bill for, not more make-work projects.
Okay, well, you got to make that point clear with me, because I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what I called about or lined up in queue for was I ended up getting very intrigued with the information you had and continue to put on the web, on the RBN website, about Ralph Blasey Jr., the father of Christine Blasey Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, this is I'm a little frustrated right now with the big conservatives. I wanted to tip the hat to Michael Savage. He's picked up on some of this, probably because Alex Jones has on the CIA connections of the Blasey family, the entire family, and what have you. And it was obvious in her reference where she talked about her Google interns. Well, that was a code word for these CIA interns that she's working with. And what I mean by a teachable moment, I'd like to see some heavy hitters out there break ranks and say, look, this is how the CIA has been manipulating society since the start of Operation Mockingbird. And Blasey Ford and her dad more culpable, of course, has played a big role in this MKUltra society changing things there, like today, making men timid to go with the normal mating procedures with women and girls, and turning it into this circus and what have you. So in the course of this, I had to fan out, if you will, John, and talk to some of the big microphones. I called into some of the big stations. I got through a couple. And just to get out your information, I ended up getting your name out on a fairly big network, I believe, out of St. Louis, on America Overnight. And they ran a few stations. They asked me who my source was. I told them John Stadmiller. And I didn't get far enough after that to mention RBN as such. But I got your name out there associating with this. So I started saying that I was frustrated that more people with a microphone aren't using this as a moment to expose CIA interference in our society. And this is just a textbook example of it.
Which, by the way, that statement, you would have credibility there, because look what the FBI has been doing. You know, for how many years here? You know, it turns out Brennan, this guy voted for communists.
There you go.
And I'm looking at this and I'm going, there is a wealth of information out there if you people would just start connecting the dots. But they're playing I'm scared game, and they're not going to start talking about it until 5,200 other people are talking about it.
That's true. I'll give you a little heart on that, John.
Hey, hang on one second. Okay. I hear the music. I got to take a break. We'll take that break, and I'll come right back to Ed. This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ed, continue.
Yes, just to let some of my fellow listeners here, John, and you know, one of the shows I did call in on and get this information out over, and he was quite receptive, was Jim Bohannon. And I know he's got a large audience. He's around the country there, syndicated, big name and all that. And he said, well, caller, that's very interesting. He goes, I don't know how much it ties into her case in particular. But he said it again. He goes, very interesting. And my whole purpose wasn't to convince Jimbo, but it was to get the word out to others that can, you know, Google things in. And this is where, like I said, on one of the shows, I got your name out. So I urge my fellow listeners to use the 50,000-watt networks around the country to get out this information and mix it up with the hoi polloi, if you will, that's out there in less informed talk radio.
Yeah.
And cite rents.com or even Republic Broadcasting. In this case, it was appropriate to use your name because he asked for a source, not Jim Bohannon, but a fellow on WBZ Boston. And that was another good thing because I know when I was waiting in queue to get on, they were getting calls clearly, I mean, just on his signal out of Boston. So it's a 50,000-watt. He was getting calls from Columbia, South Carolina, clear up to Buffalo and Toronto, Canada. So I know the outreach was there. So I'm just saying it's just a little tip for others to get some of the information out there.
Well, and there's also
downloading.
And there's also C-SPAN. They do a call-in program mm-hmm. every morning for 3 hours.
Yes.
That's another place to do it. Ed, I appreciate I appreciate your activism. Keep walking and talking, my friend.
Thank you very much for the airtime, John.
All righty, sir. Fred in Michigan. Hello, Fred.
Yeah, I do the same thing. WBZ is good. KDKA, Fred, that's in Pittsburgh.
First radio station in the country.
You just swiped my words.
Yep.
Also, there's an all-night trucker broadcast that I like to call because probably 50% or more of these truckers are really, they're awake. And a new caller, like Ed in Utah, I've even admonished Lark in Texas, regarding communitarianism, if he would cloak it as, are all you over-the-road trucker roadies, are you all ready for the AI that's going to take over your profession? And who do you suppose is behind all that? Well, Brendan O'Connell, whom I wish you would interview sometime. But in lieu of that, Brendan O'Connell, you remember Mike Herzog. O'Connell was interviewed by Herzog, I don't know, maybe 10 times, 12 times back in the summer. And on the 21 July solo presentation of Brendan, he maps out precisely the entities that are responsible for hijacking, stealing, outsourcing our super high-tech military industry and everything else associated with it. That's internet technology, cyber space technology at all. It's all gone to Israel. And one of the first site he provides is military.com. Military.com, 24 December of 13. 24 December, Christmas Eve, 2013. Military.com, defense tech. They have a file called defense tech. Well, guess what? The title is Israel Passes U.S. High-Tech Military Technology to Communist China. And then he goes through a whole string of like 50 of 500 sources documenting this and much more. He even goes back to the 1800s, John, with the Sassoon family of Iraq. They were Orthodox Talmudic Jews. And they were the ones who were dispatched by Lord Rothschild to conduct the opium heroin infusion into Asia. And to this very day, he tracks it to this very point in time. The Sassoon family owns like 50% of Hong Kong. Like the Bronfman, they own like 90% or more of all commerce in old Canada, and half of it in this country.
Yeah.
Bronfman.
They don't, the people
and
don't under...
He stole, John, he yeah. shows that during FDR's tenure, his cabinet was stacked with publicly declared Bolshevik Jews, like Solomon Adler, like Israel, what the hell is his name? Israel something. This guy was a member of the Communist Party, and he says he quit it in 42 and became a high-level operative of U.S. Army military intel.
Yeah.
Now, how's that?
Roosevelt. Let's keep Mr. Roosevelt's name correct. It was Roosevelt. Got a break, Fred. Thank you for your call. No reason to get excited.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Kick down, break down, take down. Everybody wants into the crowded line. Break down, take down. You busted, busted. Shake down, break down, take.
You know what? It always amazed me during the Reagan administration that we had Billy Clinton as governor of Arkansas. MENA Airport was given to Barry Seal by the CIA. Massive amounts of drugs were coming into this country. And the FBI never spoke a word. Never. And it was only discovered, the Reagan drugs for guns thing. And yeah, nobody really was penalized for that one, were they? It was Billy Boy that made the call to the Attorney General of Arkansas once Barry Seal was in custody, and every damn agency of the federal government showed up to arrest him, and they were arguing who was going to cuff him and take him away. And then the call come in from Billy saying, let him go. Amazing. Chris Hinckley, I got you on Skype here.
Yes, sir.
There's an update here on Mr. Savage and the Blasey Ford Bull.
Yeah, and speaking of Barry Seal and all that nonsense, I think the last time I called in, that was exactly the subject that we discussed, and I mentioned Richard Thiem's update at DEF CON 26 in August.
Well, there you go. Deja vu all over again.
Yeah, so Christine Blasey Ford is an interesting character, and I didn't really talk about it for a while I didn't really talk about it all last week. And I've just kind of been saying, you know, for folks that don't really know, just type Christine Blasey Ford CIA in your favorite search engine and, you know, have fun with that. The Google and YouTube were, I think, really sort of soft censoring the search, and now it just seems to sort of be leaking out. It's creeping out more and more, especially on YouTube. There are a number of videos, but I wanted to mention Michael Savage's update, because I think it was Ed who called in a little bit ago and mentioned that Michael Savage is one of the folks, you know, sort of mainstream type that mentioned the connection, spoke very specifically, posted it on his website, and he had an update. So I think that's worth listening to. If that's ready, you should definitely play that. It's like 3 minutes. Something.
Go ahead and run it. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, last week I posted Dr. Ford deeply tied to CIA with a question mark. And I put the evidence out there for the whole world to see. And we received more traffic on that story than any story I've ever published in my entire career in radio. And yet, there's not one link to any website in the country. There is no discussion of it anywhere in the country. You will not see it on Fox News. Certainly, you won't see it on MSNBC or the major networks. Why is that? If they're looking into whether Kavanaugh had a beer or two, wouldn't they be interested in what Dr. Fraud may have done, or who she actually is, with that uprising little girl voice of hers? Well, I posted this. Besides being a so-called professor at the off-brand university in a parking lot, she also works at a major university down the street from Palo Alto, and that's called Stanford. And guess what she does at Stanford? Why, she's the head of the CIA undergraduate internship program at Stanford. That means she recruits. Now, unto itself, there's nothing wrong with that. I love the CIA. I think they do great work.
Oh, boy.
But wait, it gets more interesting. Christine Blasey's brother, Ralph III, used to work for the international law firm of Baker Hostetler. That firm created Fusion GPS, the company who wrote the Russian dossier. They later admitted it was only a collection of field interviews. Wait, it gets better. This law firm is located in the same building where the CIA operates three companies called Red Coats, Inc., Admiral Security Services, and DataWatch. All wonderful companies. They're run by Ralph Blasey II. He happens to be the father of Dr. Ford and Ralph III. Wait, it gets even better. Christina Ralph III's grandfather was Nicholas Deke. Former CIA Director William Casey acknowledged Deke's decades of service to the CIA. Now, the point is, it's a big story. And by the traffic I have received on Twitter and on michaelsavage.com, you would think one of the great reporters in America would be interested in it. After all, didn't we just have a bestseller from a guy who wrote a book 40 years ago about Watergate? Some old hack they dug up in an elevator somewhere? I don't even remember his name. Oh, wait, what's his name? I forget his name. I swear to God, I can't remember his name. He's insignificant. And yet when his book came out, it sold 1 million copies in a day. Why is that? Why is that? Because there's a fix, and the fix is in. Now, if any one of the connections between Dr. Ford and the intelligence agency is false, I ask people, please disprove any of these points. Nobody refuted any of those points. Wouldn't you think that Senator Lindsey Graham, wouldn't you think that one of the so-called Republicans on the committee would raise the issue of, wait a minute, how, whoa, she's with the CIA, she recruits at Stanford? What does that have to do with the Kavanaugh hearings? If you can't figure that out, then you're dumber than a poster.
There you go. I mean, that pretty much says it all, I would say.
It's simply amazing. They're so corrupt that they're afraid to make proclamations or ask real questions, because they're all equally guilty of some cover up or maybe even actual criminal activity themselves. It's the status quo. The country has lost faith in the grand institution known as the federal government. They're a bunch of hot air asshats, Chris.
Yeah.
And nobody is trusting anybody saying anything.
It seems like there's a lot of double and triple cross going on. And so it's a generational CIA family. And it sort of reminds me of, I can't help of thinking other examples, probably the most notable is the Boston bombing nonsense and Uncle Russell and Sarney, marrying Graham Fuller's daughter, former CIA counterterrorism expert, one of the guys who's been interviewed on a lot of these specials that says the goofiest sort of things. Oh, we never could have known, you know, these kind of people and stuff. When the Boston bombing suspects were, basically family of a top CIA counterterrorism official. So they love using their own because, you know, obviously that's something that won't be traced back. There's no way to vet that entirely.
Well, Chris, I appreciate you chiming in on the broadcast. Now, this is going to be a little bit lengthy, so I'll say adieu to you and thank you for your call, and I'm going to do a little bit more follow-up in the CIA connection with the Democrats, and I thank you so much, sir.
Absolutely.
All righty.
Thanks, Sean.
Okay. The CIA Democrats, a balance sheet of the primaries. Now, folks, pay close attention to this because it's going to be important. It's important today. It's going to be more important tomorrow. With the end of the primary season, the Democrat Party leadership and their allies in the national security apparatus have completed the first stage of what might be termed a friendly takeover of the Democrats by candidates recruited from among military, CIA, and civilian national security cadres. The World Socialist website first identified the phenomenon of the CIA Democrats in a series published in March. At the time, we noted the large number of candidates drawn from the military intelligence apparatus seeking Democrat nominations in competitive congressional districts. If the Democrats won the November election, we warned, such military intelligence operatives would hold the balance of power in the new House of Representatives. Of the 44 districts we identified in March, since has grown to 46, military intelligence candidates have won 30 nominations. A success rate of about 66% or two-thirds, that testifies to their extensive support from the Democrat Party leadership, from longtime financial backers of the Democrats, and from top levels of the national security establishment. You want to control the opposition, folks? Lead it. Never forget that phrase. There are 115 districts rated as competitive by the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, or by groups specializing in the district-by-district analysis of congressional races. The 30 military intelligence candidates account for more than one quarter of the Democratic candidates in these districts, making them the largest single group, ahead of the state and local politicians, 26, lawyers, 20, millionaires, 15, other professionals, 8, former Obama aides, 3, and miscellaneous, 13. Most of the organizations that investigate and rate congressional races are projecting that the Democrats will win more than 23 seats required to take control of the House, and possibly as many as 50 or 60. In a later scenario, the CIA Democrats could make up as much as half of the new class of the first-time representatives. Is this starting to make sense to you? Christine Blasey Ford, CIA, coming forth, trying to knock Kavanaugh out. And look how the Democrats have been acting. Oh, they need a boost, all right. They need direction. They're going to get it from the intelligence community. Most of the organizations that investigate and rate congressional races are projecting, as I said, the Democrats will win more than 23 seats. There is one particularly ominous aspect of politics of this group of candidates. Despite their personal involvement, say in the wars of the past two decades in Iraq, Afghanistan, and overall operation of the vast U.S. national security establishment, many of the CIA Democrats say nothing at all on their websites about foreign and military policy. This strongly suggests that their backers and aggressive expansion of the U.S. military and intervention and political subversion around the world, but they choose to conceal that fact from the voters and their districts. What follows is a complete list of the 30 military intelligence Democrats who are on the ballot on November 6th, together with the details of their careers in the national security apparatus. The list includes new candidates not previously identified and new information on all the candidates. The candidates are listed by alphabetical order of their state. The facts and the photographs are taken from the candidates' own websites. It's notable that they see long records with the national security apparatus as their principal credentials for office, not as something to downplay. Now, equally notable, not one of these candidates draws any negative, let alone anti-war conclusions from their own participation in the wars of Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Yemen, and other countries. Jason Crow, 6th District, Colorado, one of the first candidates to be promoted by the DCCC under its Red to Blue program. Florida 6th District, Nancy Soderberg. Christopher Hunt, Florida 12th District. I can't go into all of it. I mean, it would take me another hour to give you the background. I'm just going to give you the names here. You want to read more about their background? Go to the website, republicbroadcasting.org, and read it for yourself. And then pass along to friends and neighbors. Lauren Baer. She's out of the Florida 18th District, Illinois in the 12th District, Brendan Kelly, Amy McGrath, Kentucky 6th District, Maine in the 2nd District, Gerald Golden, Maryland 1st District, Jesse Colvin, Michigan 1st District, Matthew Morgan, Michigan 8th District, Elisa Slotkin, Minnesota 1st District, Dan Freehan. And I'm going to stop there. But understand, folks, the best way to control opposition and destroy your opponent is by leading it. And that apparently is what is going on. Isn't that amazing? Deep ties to the intelligence community, Pentagon, military, FBI, CIA, give it a name, NSA, give it a time, give it a date, who the hell cares? Oh, the Democrats are floundering. They don't have a direction. Well, you're going to get one now. And as I said about Donald Trump yesterday, you know, about his hype about the military, the strength of the military, this, that, and the other. Well, guess what? There's really not been any uptick in the action in the Middle East. And I might be completely crazy. Maybe my screws have come unloosed. But I see a pattern here with Donald Trump. I see a pattern that nobody else has been talking about. Who in the hell is going to run against Donald Trump in 2020? The Democrats knew that they didn't have anybody. They saw what happened with Hillary Clinton. She folded like a cheap pant suit. She couldn't stand a candidate like Donald Trump. And if you would have had anybody else other than Donald Trump that was on a Republican platform for president, you would have seen Hillary Clinton in office. Because they're all buds and pals. Well, Donald Trump was once a friend of Hillary Clinton, yeah. He's not a slave of Hillary Clinton. He knew a lot of people. And he used the very same advantages that other rich people have used. Yeah, we get all that. And now looking at this with the people that he brought in, Uncle Joe in his statement, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. What better way to do that than communicate with them every single day? To find out what's on their minds. And truly who they're talking to and what they really represent. There's not going to be anybody that's going to, seriously, I mean, we're going to have Joe Biden run against Donald Trump in 2020? That's not going to happen. And if it does, that's suicide by Biden. But I've got a sneaking suspicion here, folks, looking at patterns of Donald Trump. What he said at the United Nations about sovereignty, what he's been doing with NAFTA. All of these things are starting to add up for me, and I'm not declaring him the second coming of Jesus Christ. So please, folks, but you've got to start looking at things with a better eye. Forget your prejudices. You're locked in. No Donald Trump. He's one of the insiders that were brought in. Well, if he's an insider, can we have some more, please, of whatever camp he came from? Now, I'm going to remain objective about Donald Trump and his actions. But again, I see a pattern developing here. And I'm going to venture a guess. In his second term, I think you're going to see a move against the very structure that this country had to do away with a long time ago. And that is the Federal Reserve.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just calling to tell you what a great product you have. I had used this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5. Here's one from the category, we're from the government and we're here to help. You ever wonder where the license plate, the National License Plate Reader Program came from back in 2008? The Drug Enforcement Agency. You know how those little radar signs out there taking your speed and telling you what your current speed is? Yeah, it's just to help. According to recently released U.S. federal contracting data, the DEA administration will be expanding the footprint of its nationwide surveillance network with the purchase of multiple trailer-mounted speed displays to be retrofitted as mobile LPR, that's license plate reader platforms. The DEA is buying them from RU2 Systems, Inc., a private Mesa, Arizona company. How much it's spending on the signs has been redacted. Two other apparently related contracts show that the DEA was hired as a small machine shop in California, and another one in Virginia to conceal the readers within the signs. An RU2 representative said the company providing the LPR devices themselves is a Canadian firm called Genetech. The DEA launched its National License Plate Reader Program in 2008. It was publicly revealed for the first time during a congressional hearing 4 years after that. The DEA's most recent budget describes the program as a federation of independent federal, state, and local and tribal law enforcement license plate readers linked into a cooperative system designed to enhance the ability of law enforcement agencies to interdict drug traffickers, money launderers, and other criminal activities on high drug and money trafficking corridors and other public roadways throughout the U.S., primarily along the southwest border region and the country's northeast and southeast corridors. There used to be an old saying, police saying, if you robbed a bank, please drive carefully. Former NYPD Detective Sergeant and Bronx Cold Case Squad Commander Joseph Giancone told Quartz, explaining that if a getaway driver didn't do anything to attract the attention of police and get pulled over, they usually had a half-decent chance of fleeing. But that's no longer in effect because you can drive slow, you can stop at every red light, but the license plate readers and surveillance cameras track your every movement. And therein lies the real issue. What is a game-changing crime-fighting tool to some is a privacy overreach of near-existential proportion to others. License plate readers, which can capture somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 license plates a minute, cast an astonishingly wide net that has been made far easier for cops to catch serious criminals. On the other hand, the indiscriminate nature of the real-time collection, along with the fact that it is stored by authorities for later data mining, is highly alarming to privacy advocates. License plate readers are inherently a form of mass surveillance. Investigative researcher Dave Moss of the nonprofit Electronic Frontier Foundation told Quartz, quoting him, you look at something like a wiretap, and most of the time it's looking for a specific person and capturing specific conversations with that person. But here they are collecting information on everybody, not all of whom have been accused of a crime, in case they may one day commit a crime. I wished I had a little bit more time to finish this out, but you can by going to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. Folks, go to our website. Pass that information along. I thought I'd shut up to see if I could get your attention. Silence is deadly on radio. Folks, that'll do it for us today. It's the beginning of the month. We got bills stacking up as usual on the network. Folks, please consider a nice donation to the network to keep this thing going, because we truly are a good crime-fighting organization. Down with the democracy, up with the republic, and let's put the criminals behind bars so far that you have to pump sunshine and air into them. We'll see you tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.